The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, we've been talking about supernatural strategic financial management. It's a mouthful, but I started last week talking about the blessing of giving, and I just want everyone to understand when I'm talking about giving and finances that I truly believe that giving opens the door. It's the key to receiving the blessings of God. However, it's not the only part of financial management that the Bible teaches. I read a little story this week about a couple guys in Montana. In Montana, they were having problems with wolves, so they put a bounty on wolves, $50 for each wolf that was brought in dead. A couple of good old boys decided that they wanted to make some money, so they headed off, Ned and Jed, headed off into the mountains to get some wolves. And they searched and searched for several days, trying to find wolves, and they couldn't find a wolf anywhere. And they were just dead tired. So they didn't even build a campfire that night. They just lay down on the ground and went to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, Ned woke up. He was stirred because he heard something. And he looked around, and there was a pack of 50 wolves, red eyes, snarling, teeth showing, just about ready to pounce on the two guys. Ned nudged Jed. He said, "Jed, wake up. We're about to be rich." Think about it. Come on. Now, the reason I tell you that little silly story that I thought was a little more humorous than you acted like it was. Took you a little while to catch on. But the reason that I tell you that is because sometimes we have a silly thought process about the teachings that we hear in regards to giving. All of us have heard teachings about being blessed in giving. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to think that all we have to do is give and we'll get rich. Well, giving is a key. There is no doubt about it. But God has lots of things to say in His Word about financial management. Giving opens the door for the blessings. And I had a talk last week about tithing and how important it is. And it rebukes the devourer on our behalf. So it sets us up for blessings in our life. However, if all you ever do is just give, 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 and you do not plan and prepare, you do not budget, you do not understand that you have to have some self-control about the things that you purchase and the things that you do, and the Bible teaches all these things. It teaches a well-rounded understanding of our finances. Jesus taught more about money than he did just about everything else in the Bible except for the kingdom of God. Because our finances, we have our hearts attached to our pocketbooks. You know, sometimes people just about have a heart attack when they have to give. You pull that thing out and you just start, your heart starts beating and you don't know what you're going to do. That's because you have allowed your finances to control your life. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll take care of everything else." So it's very important that we recognize that there is several principles that are involved with proper supernatural financial management. The one that I'm sharing with you today is about giving. And if this is the only teaching that you get, you're going to walk away from here today saying, "Oh, I'll just give and I'll get. I'll give and get, and I'll get rich." That's not God's program. In fact, I don't think God cares whether you're rich or not. What He cares about is whether He has your heart. Does he have your heart? Only you can answer that. But he will test to see if he has your heart. I can guarantee that. Last week, we talked about tithing. And we recognize that tithing rebukes the devourer, according to the teaching in Malachi. And if you are not a tither, I ask you to get that teaching, listen to it, and I challenge you to try God, because that's what the scripture says. Try me and see if I'll pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Malila Mash came to me this morning. We were in the cafe, and she said, I want to tell you something. And, okay, what? She said, last week, I decided to start tithing for the first time. Okay, great. Now, I know that she's been taught tithing, but she's just now kind of getting out on her own and starting her life. So now she understands that it's time to start putting these principles into operation in her own life. And she said, here's what happened. I tithed for the first time, and a grant for college that I thought was going to be $1,000, I looked at it, and it turned out to be $2,000. Wow. Now, you might say, well, that's just a coincidence. Well, try him and see. I can tell you this, Malila doesn't think it's a coincidence. She believes in her living God. God is so good. Try him. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, tithe if you love Jesus, any idiot can honk. I like it. I like it. All right, so tithing was the first step in the blessings and the kind of blessing that we receive from giving. And that blessing is God rebuking the devourer on our behalf. And you have to understand, this is just the basic This is class 101 with God. This is just the basics. If you tithe, then you set yourself up so that the devourer cannot eat your finances and that God will be able to bless you. Now, listen. The scripture says you rob God. Now, here's what we mistakenly think, well, I'm stealing from God. Well, yeah, that's part of what it's saying. But here's what you're doing. You're robbing God of the opportunity to be able to bless you. You're taking away the avenue which he has established to be able to bless your life. So if we believe his word, we're going to follow it and trust it. Today, I'm going to talk about number two, free will offerings. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning with verse 5, it says this, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Deuteronomy 12:6. Now, this scripture tells us, gives us a whole list of sacrifices that the Hebrews had to do. And this was God's way of providing for the needs of the people, for the priests, the Levites, and anyone that was poor in the communities. God used these things to be able to provide for people's needs. At the same time, people were coming and showing their reverence toward the living God through the offerings. Now, we don't do burnt offerings or any kind of offerings anymore in regards to animal offerings. That is no longer necessary because the true offering, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, came and took care of all that for us. But we still have offerings in our life that we can bring before our God. And a free will offering is an important part. It's part of this. Now, when we talk about free will offerings, we're talking about a voluntary offering. an offering that you give because you desire it, to do it willingly, and sometimes for no other reason but to bless or be a blessing to someone else or be obedient to the living God. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 3, it says, "And they received from Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had bought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary, so they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning." One of the things that we do around here is once a month we take an offering for our stewardship campaign, which is to pay off the debt on our building. And we give people the opportunity to make pledges to do that. Many of you pledge. Some of you just give on a regular basis. And praise God, those are all free will offerings. Nobody twists your arm to do it, even if you make a pledge. No one's twisting your arm. You pray, you ask God what you're supposed to do, and you do it. You're obedient. That's a free will offering. We don't ask, I ask everyone to get involved with this, to make some sort of a pledge, because what I'm looking for is your heart. Do you have a heart for this ministry? Do you believe in what we're doing? Do you believe in me as your pastor? Do you believe in the elders, the deacons, the leaders of this church? Do you believe and commit to us? Because we're committed to you. We believe in you. We know that God is working in your life. You're here for a purpose, for a reason. It's not an accident that you're a part of Bethel. You're a part of this community. We're all working together. So one of the things that they did, they gave free will offerings for the work of the sanctuary and the building of the sanctuary. A free will offering is given freely to the work of the ministry. And a free will offering can be something that God speaks to you and says, "Hey, give Otis $100. Now, it's not my responsibility to find out whether Otis needs $100 or not. I can look at Otis and say, "That brother's doing all right." I can walk out in the parking lot and look at his vehicle and say, "He don't need my $100. I look at his children, his family, they're doing okay financially. But I want you to understand something. It's not based on whether they have a particular need or not. It's based on what God has spoken to me to do, to be obedient to him. I can't always look at somebody and know whether they have a need or not. But there are times that you can, and you can know that a person has a particular need, and you give. Many years ago, as Tammy and I were learning to walk this faith walk and to recognize the voice of God and give to people who had needs, we were in a church service one time at our church, Living Word Christian Center. And some guys came in that they were just visiting. They were there. They had testimonies and stuff, and they were just visiting our church. And God spoke to me about one of these guys. Now, to give you a little better understanding of where I was in this situation, God spoke, for many weeks prior to this, I had been looking for a particular pair of shoes that I wanted. And, I thought, I want these. And I looked around. I couldn't find them. And I finally found the pair of shoes that I wanted. And I went and bought those shoes. I was able to purchase those shoes. Now, it took me a while to find these shoes. They were not readily available. So I had to search for them. And I found it. How many have ever really had a desire for something and you finally found it? You know what I'm talking about. Man, I had those shoes. I was styling, And I don't style very often. Just me. I like those shoes. And those guys came in, and man, they looked good. They had suits and ties, and they were looking good. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, look at that guy's shoes. And I got to tell you, I didn't want to look at that guy's shoes. I knew where this was going. I didn't like it. So I, did the scanning the guy. And I got all the way down to the shoes. The suit looked good. The tie looks good. Everything was looking good. Shirt. But when I got to the shoes, they were pretty ragged. And you know what? It looked like he wore my size. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, give him your shoes. Now, I can't tell this without getting emotional about it. Because my heart was tied to those shoes. And although I argued a little bit with the Lord, I was obedient. I took those shoes off at the end of the service. I took them and gave them to this guy. And Tammy wondered where I was. And I finally came out. She was sitting out in the vehicle and waiting on me. And she said, where you been? And then when I got in the vehicle without any shoes, she realized where I had been. And I tell you this story because I want you to understand, it wasn't about the great need that this guy had for shoes. God could have spoken to me and said, give him a particular amount of money so he can buy shoes. But it was about what was important to me. It was about giving up something that really could have become an idol to me rather than serving my living God. So I want you to understand, when it comes to giving, God's going to test you. When it comes to free will offering, he's going to test you and find out, where is your heart? Do you really love him enough to trust him and believe that he's able to provide for you, even if he tells you to do something that is difficult or uncomfortable? I can tell you this, from that time on, I've never went without a decent pair of shoes. Now, like I said, I'm not always styling, but I always have good shoes. And many times people come up to me and say, I want to buy you a pair of shoes. There's somebody in this congregation right now said, next time you buy shoes, I want to buy shoes for you. Why? Because our God is so good. Amen. And he uses his people. Galatians 6:6-7. It says this, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The principle of sowing and reaping. We all know that we're not that far from our forefathers who everybody had gardens. Many of us in here still have some gardens, but not long ago, everybody in our area had a garden. That's how we survived. We'd can and put away food and prepare for the winter. Everybody had gardens, and you know what it's like to sow seed. You put a seed in the ground, takes a while, but that seed produces. It doesn't just produce. If I plant a tomato seed and I nurture that plant and I put that plant, take that plant out and put it in the ground, that plant does not just give me one tomato. If it does, I'll cut that thing down and get a better tomato plant. That tomato plant will give me an abundance of tomatoes. When you sow seed, you can expect to reap an abundance. Here's the thing, though. If you sow one seed, there's only a certain amount of reaping that can be done on that one seed. That's why it's so important that when you reap, that you take something from that seed and you begin to sow again. Keep on sowing. Keep on establishing a lifestyle of sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. This scripture is talking about sowing material blessings into the lives of people who teach and preach the Word of God. Now, I stand here before you this morning saying, thank you that you're a congregation that understands that. You meet all of our needs. I believe that God is so good, and we're just thankful for that. But when we do this, we are promised that we're going to reap a harvest. Now, we find the blessing that comes from free will offerings in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, sowing seed. And I just told you a story about how it works in my life. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. With the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured to you again. This is what we can trust in regards. This is the blessing. If you give, if you sow seed, you can expect God to use people to meet your needs. That's the principle. We're the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is to help one another, meet one another's needs, be in prayer, be in tune with the Spirit of God so that when you meet people, He may be telling you that you need to pray for them. That's meeting, that's sowing seed. He may tell you that you need to minister to them and listen to them. Listen to what they're going through. He may be telling you to give them some cash or give them something else, material. I can't answer that for you in every situation, but Holy Spirit will lead and direct you and help you to be able to minister to people's needs on a daily basis. We're all ministers of the kingdom of God. You can't run from it. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You've been called and equipped. Now, we do not give to get, but we do give with a pure heart. And if we give with a pure heart, we can expect that God's word is true and He will fulfill His word. That's why it's so important that we don't eat up our seed. Don't take all your seed and eat it up. Have some seed to sow. Sow seed into other people's lives. Many years ago, in the late 50s, there was a famine of potatoes in China. Tens of thousands of people died. Now, we were doing very well here in the United States. We were very prosperous. But people were dying in China because of a potato famine. And one of the reasons that this famine came on was because the potato farmers would take the best potatoes and use them for food and take the small, some of the not the best of the crop and put it aside for planting. And each year, the potatoes got smaller and smaller and smaller because they were not using their best to sow. And what I'm trying to share with you this morning is you've got to use the best that God gives you to sow into other people's lives. Don't just give somebody something that's left over. When Tammy and I operated the group home, people would make donations to us. And sometimes you'd get great donations. People would do, people had a good heart and they wanted to bless you. And they'd go out and buy new things and bring to us. But then we had these people that would bring what we called polluted offerings. And those polluted offerings were probably clothing that they really didn't want any longer and just, holes and nasty and sometimes smelly. Or it was something old and worn out, and they just wanted to get it out of their house, so they brought us this polluted offering. Now, we were gracious, and we accepted every offering that was brought to us, but I want to tell you something, God didn't. God doesn't accept your polluted offerings. God wants your best. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to always buy something new to give to somebody else. I'm just telling you, always give him your best, whatever it is, and whatever you're doing. In the second letter to Paul, to Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church, and he's encouraged them to give to their brethren in Judah, because Judah, there was a famine. They were under persecution, and there was a great famine. And this is what he says to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What a great scripture. He's encouraging them to give. Don't sow sparingly, sow bountifully, because you're going to reap the same as you sow. But even more than that, as he teaches them here, he says, listen, let each and every one of you give purpose in your heart what God has told you to give. And then give it with great joy. A joyful giver, he's talking about somebody that gives with exuberance. Very few of us give that way. I try to encourage that when we take offerings here. I encourage clap and shout and thank God, because that's a cheerful giver. But listen, the words that are used here, they actually mean someone who gets excited every time they have the opportunity to give. Yes. Amen. They stand up, they shout, they look like they're in a football game. Because they're excited about giving. That's a cheerful giver. Ooh, that steps on all our toes, doesn't it? Jeez. Tammy and I have tried to cultivate a lifestyle of giving. She's probably one of the most giving people that I know on the face of the earth. Our son-in-law, Brady, said that she just goes to the store and buys things so she can give them away. And it's true. She does. She likes to give. She likes to give things that she produces. You know, she cans, and she likes to give things to people. Canned goods and applesauce in particular, huh, Otis? Yeah, Otis loves that applesauce. But we've done our best to cultivate this in our lives of giving. We've given things. We've given all kinds of material things. I told you about the shoes. We've given clothing. We've given financially into people's lives when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We have given a car away. You know, we just do our best to cultivate a lifestyle of giving. Now, I tell you this, I hope you don't think that I'm standing up here bragging about what we do. That's not it. I'm telling you this as a preface to what I'm about to tell you. Because what I'm about to tell you is such a huge blessing in our life that I hope I can get through it and share it with you. We all have issues or difficulties in our life. Amen. We have that life happens. And if any person who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ will ever stands up and tells you that if you serve God, everything's going to be smooth and wonderful in your life, he's a liar. She's a liar. Because God is on your side. He's with you when you go through each and every situation, but life's still going to happen. You're going to have difficulties. And we've had our share. Many of you have experienced those things with us. About 4 years ago, we thought our daughter and her husband were going to get a divorce. That was a very difficult time in our life. Very difficult. And thank God they did not. But I can tell you this, that's not the outcome every time. Many of you have experienced divorce, or you have family members that you prayed for, your children, and yet they still got a divorce. God does not override people's will. We were fortunate. We are blessed, and we thank God for the fact that they did not, and they're doing well now in their relationship. So, I threw that one in there because I just want you to know, stuff happens. But about, 8, 9 years ago, our son Micah, who is sitting back there with his beautiful wife and has 2 incredible little girls, beautiful little girls, and I love them so much. But he looks like they look like the model family, But before they got married, my son went through a very difficult time in his life. Difficult time for us. He was dealing with an addiction, a drug addiction. And most people who were here, you prayed for us and you prayed for him and you stood with us. And I just, those of you who know what I'm talking about, you were here at that time. I just want to say thank you for standing with us. And there's other people in this congregation. I want you to know there's hardly anyone sitting in here that has not been touched somehow by the drug problems in our society. We're not condemning anyone. We're telling you there's support, there's help. But I want you to understand, if you're in here this morning and you're having a problem with any kind of addiction, get help from the body of Christ. We want to help. We don't want to ridicule. We don't want to push you out. We want to embrace you and help you so that we can move on through this, so that you can be victorious, because you can be victorious. But as we were praying and seeking God, and Micah, he knew what was right, and he understood that his life, he needed to turn his life completely over to Christ and overcome this addiction, but he just kept running for a while. And he went through some really, really difficult times. We went through difficult times praying and seeking God. And finally he broke down and said, okay, I'll go to treatment. And we looked for someplace like Teen Challenge or something that was available. And the waiting lines for those programs are just incredible. And we couldn't wait. So we found this place in Florida. I don't even remember how that happened, but we found this treatment center in Florida, but it was one that you had to pay for. And I want you to understand that when your children's life is on the line, there's an issue like this, the last thing you think about is what it's going to cost. And even though it's a burden, we said, okay, we're going to do this. We didn't know how we were going to pay for it, but we were going to find a way. Well, we have a big God. And the people of this church rallied around. Some people gave us some gifts. And, Mike and Dot Norman came to us and said, here's a credit card with nothing on it. Take it and use it. Wow. That's the love of Jesus Christ. And we had to use it. We did use it initially to be able to get him into the treatment and keep the treatment going. But we didn't have all this the money that we needed. And when he got down there, they started saying, we're going to have to kick him out of the program because you are not able to pay. We didn't know how we were going to handle this, how we were going to do this, but we just continued to pray and ask God. you know, God, meet our need. We've been faithful. We've tried. We've done everything we know to do. We sow seed, and we believe that your word says that you're going to meet all our needs according to our riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You will come through. We just didn't know how. Well, as Micah was going through this process and this treatment, there was a lady, an older lady that was in the treatment program with him. And Micah they'd become friends, and he had helped her with some stuff, some health issues and things that she had. And she became aware of Micah's problem with being able to pay and stay. She knew that he might be kicked out. And she told him, she said, my husband and I have the money, and we want to pay for your treatment. Now, Micah said, this woman, she was dressed in sweatpants. Her hair was all over the place. He said, I looked at that lady and said, yeah, right. This is a crazy woman. And she said, no, really, we have the money, and we want to pay for your treatment. And Micah said, you can't pay for my treatment. I don't want your money. And she said, it's not my money. It's God's money. And she's, you know, tomorrow when my husband comes, and you know, he'll verify that he's willing to do this. So the husband shows up. And Micah's talking to them, and he said, yeah, we want to pray. We want to pay for your treatment. So now he thinks, not only does he have a crazy woman, he's got a crazy man. Two people. And Micah had pretty much the same conversation. The guy said, it's not our money. It's God's money. So Micah calls us up and tells us the story. And of course, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm faithless, but I thought those people were nuts. Sure, she's in a treatment program and they're going to pay for my son's treatment. Well, it is incredible how God shows up in our situations. Amen. We found out later that the man was an executive for a major world, I think national or world bank. He had money. And about, I don't remember exactly how long after the Micah came back from treatment, we drove down, picked him up, brought him back. We did meet the people. They assured us that they were going to pay for his treatment program. Just a few weeks later, they sent us a check. No strings attached. They just gave us $11,000. And we were able to not only pay off his treatment, but it was a little bit more, and we paid off. We were able to give Mike and Dot back some money that they had given us on that credit card and get everything cleared, and Micah was able to start a new life, clean and clear, not only financially, because people who have addiction sometimes have outstanding debts that need to be taken care of, and sad to say, we had to take care of some of that. But more importantly, he had a clean slate with Jesus Christ and started a new life, and now I can say I'm so proud of him. He's a proud of Micah, and I'm proud of Trish and their family. And, you know, God has placed him in this program with an electrical company where he's an apprentice and he's going to become a journeyman, and he's doing so well there, just flourishing. And God's taken their family, and because they're faithful in their giving and the things that they do, God's blessing them financially, and things are changing and turned around. And all I can do is just step back and say, that's how awesome my God is. That's how awesome he is. Offering, free will offerings, God has promised. The blessing is that other people will give into your bosom. That's a great blessing. Apply it to your life. The last thing I want to share with you this morning, and we're just going to move on with this. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So here's the thing. There's two blessings here promised if we give what is called alms, or giving to people who are poor. And I want to reiterate some of the things that I said in the past about the church and the tithes. We give to the poor all over the world. Giving to the good works is giving to people who are down and out. They need a hand up, and you're providing that through your tithes and your offerings and the things that are happening here. But I want you to understand, I believe that God requires and desires for us to give above and beyond that to people who have financial needs, that are just in a bad situation. I wouldn't really call them the poor, that they're just going through a difficult time. And we need to be very much aware of that. And there's two blessings that come to us for that. First of all, if we give to those who are in need, God will pay you back. Man, you can't get any better than that. God is somehow going to cause it to happen that you get paid back. That's God. Remember your Heavenly Father, the one that loves you and cares deeply for you. He's going to take care of you. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He can make it happen. And number two, this is also very important. He will deliver you from trouble. We need that, to be delivered from trouble. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Okay, there's two things here. We're supposed to visit the orphans and the widows. Now, it's not just talking about you go visit them and say a little prayer for them and say, how are you doing? No, visiting here means that you visit them in their trouble. You find out what their needs are, and you prepare yourself to meet those needs. That's what visiting is talking about. If you know somebody that has a need and you have the resources, somebody who's down and out, and you don't meet that need, you're missing it. You're visiting that person in that need. And the other thing is, something that we have difficulty with in the church, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Because the world's always pulling and tugging on us. Get back in here. Come on. You got out of the game. Get back in the game. No, I don't want to play by the world's rules. I have a big God. I want to play by His rules. And His rules tell me, do not do things the way the world does them. Do them my way. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, we find a Roman centurion. A centurion is over 100 men. A soldier. And he lives in Caesarea, a port city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And the Bible says that he was a devout man. Now, he was not a Jew. He wasn't even what was referred to as a proselyte, someone who wasn't a Jew but converted to Judaism. But he was a devout man because he lived a moral life. He believed in the moral teachings of the Hebrew Bible, Hebrew Torah. And the other thing it says that he did is he gave alms to the poor and he prayed regularly. He was generous to people. And he prayed to the living God. Now, this man had a vision from God where an angel came to him and told him to summon Peter because he had something important to tell him. Now, the angel addresses him and begins to say this. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms." Listen to how important this is. Your prayers and your alms, your giving to the poor, your prayers and your giving to the poor has been heard by God and seen by God. And because of that, God's going to give you this opportunity. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm not telling you that you can pray and give your way into heaven. That's not the process. The process is seek God through his son, Jesus Christ. Make Christ your Savior and live your life for God. But alms and prayers opened the door for this man to be able to hear that message because of his heart. It was a heart condition. And I'll say this. I believe in every place in the world and every religion, there are people that have a heart for God, and God's going to open the door for them to hear the gospel. But it takes us to preach it, to teach it, to share it, to support those who are doing so. If you're supporting somebody that's preaching in the far reaches of the world, it's just like you being there doing it. You're going to get a reward. Leadership Magazine carried this story about four young men, Bible college students. And they were going to Bible school, and almost immediately after they started going there, a guy showed up at their door with vegetables. He knocked on the door, and they looked at him, and you know, he had glassy eyes and unshaven and ragged clothes. His shoes, his shoes didn't match, but they were both for the same foot, and he was wearing them. So immediately their mind went to, this is an old wino. You know, that's what he looked like. But they bought some vegetables to help him out, and he went on his way. But set a precedent. Every Saturday, he would show up at their door with vegetables. And they weren't the best vegetables in the world, but they were vegetables. So they would buy vegetables, and they got to know him a little bit. And they found out that the glassy eyes was because he had cataracts. And he wasn't, you know, he was a poor man, but he was making a living, and he was thankful to God. And they got to know this guy, and he started ministering to them, and they started ministering to him. And they decided, hey, we're going to go out and get some clothing for this guy. So they bought up some clothes and went to thrift stores and got some really nice things, and they took it and they put it on his doorstep, and they didn't put a note or anything with it. They just left it there on the doorstep. And the next Saturday when he came, he came in and he would bring his harmonica, and they would sing hymns, and they would worship God together, and they really had a good relationship with him. And when he was done singing his first hymn, he said, "God is good." And they said, "Yes, God is good." And he said, "You know why God is good?" And they said, "No, why is God good?" "God is good because I came home the other day and on my doorstep was a whole bunch of clothes God is good. And they jumped in, God is good, God is good. They played another hymn, sang together, and he said, God is good. And they said, yes, God is good. And he said, do you know why God is good? And they said, no, why is God good in your life? Because I took those clothes and I found some families that really needed them. God is good. You can always give. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. Look for the opportunity to sow seed into other people's life. Free will offerings, alms. But number one, be a tither. Stand with me. Oh, Leah. I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you to be introspective a little bit here with this and talk to your God, our God. Decide, you know, I've shared some things with you, tithing, offering, free will offerings, giving alms. I want you to decide today. I can't twist your arm, but I'm giving you an opportunity to decide that you're going to step out of your comfort zone and begin to do some giving that you've never done before. Maybe it's begin to tithe. Maybe it's you never thought about the free will offering thing, about looking for opportunities to sow seed into other people's lives. Maybe you've given some here and there to people who seem like they're destitute and they need, but I want to challenge you to ramp it up. Look for opportunities. I can promise you this. You cannot outgive God. He's on your side. Listen to Holy Spirit. Don't listen to men. Don't listen to somebody begging you to give to this or give to that. Listen to Holy Spirit. Be faithful, and I challenge you to step up to a new way of doing things, a new way of living. Be a blessed giver. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it all belongs to you, Lord. It's all yours. Help us to live our life that way. To recognize that you own it all. That whatever we have and whatever you've allowed us to be managers over, stewards over, that we're able to just release to you whatever you tell us to release. Lord, there's freedom in that. Yet the world would say that's bondage, but I believe there's freedom in it. And I thank you, Lord, that today your people are embracing that kind of lifestyle. A lifestyle of giving, being blessed, and giving more. Sowing and reaping, Father God, so that your kingdom will be established in this place, in this earth, in the lives of people. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.